The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner in the studio alongside Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern on the line to look ahead to the 10 Premier League matches this weekend. We'll come to the naps at the end of the programme, as we always do. But first of all, it's a good morning, a warm welcome to Mr. Lee Phelps in the studio.
Hello. Yeah, you need to do that first, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. So,
you all right?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, excellent.
Mr. McGovern?
I'm very, very well, yes. Can't wait for Christmas.
I can imagine, Derek.
Bah, humbug.
Brilliant.
We'll come to the naps at the end of the programme, as we always do. We'll start off with the live televised game on Saturday afternoon, 12:45 p.m. kickoff. Manchester City taking on Crystal Palace. Manchester City 2-7. The draw 4-1 and Crystal Palace 10-1. Headline offers here: James Milner to score and Manchester City to win is 2-1. Yala Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win is 33-1. Man City, Derek, now only 3 points behind Chelsea, and they've won 5 straight in the Premier League. But I mentioned that headline offer, and that's there because they're struggling to get strikers fit. Sergio Aguero sidelined until the new year. Stefan Jovetic and Edin Dzeko both likely to miss out with injury. And Alvaro Negredo out on loan at Valencia, and they can't pull him back. So they're struggling in terms of attackers at the moment.
That's right. They've got their fetus playing up front, haven't they? Bozo.
Yeah. even though he hasn't done nothing wrong, his name is just—he's desperate to be called Bozo, isn't he?
Well, it's criminal, isn't it? Aside with the wherewithal of City, the cash of City to be in such dire straits. Well, you know, letting Negredo go as well. They must be regretting that move. And the fact that Milner, James, interesting Milner, is the man in the headline offer to score. That says it all, and you know, there's going to be better 2-7 pokes around. I won't be able to find any, but there's a lot better than Man City. I've got a sneaking fancy for Palace here, you know. I'm not saying they're going to win. I mean, they're 10-1, and probably people would want even longer than that for them to win. But on the road, they've only lost 3 of 8 games away from home. That's not a bad record, that. And it's not as if City are blowing teams away. They're certainly not going to without Aguero. You can back Palace here with a 2-goal start at just below evens. It was only 1-0 last season. I've got a sneaking feeling this will upset a few banker punters this weekend, you know. City will probably win, but this is going to be a tough game for them, definitely.
Crystal Palace plus 2 goals is in the market at 17-20. There's talk, Lee, of Manuel Pellegrini maybe going for Saido Berahino or Wilfred Bony in the transfer window. They do need to get these strikers fit, but given the injuries, they'll probably be happy with this run of fixtures over the Christmas period. You look at who they're playing following this Palace game: West Brom, Burnley and Sunderland to come all over Christmas. He'll be happy with that, I think.
Yeah, and they have got goals throughout the team, of course, haven't they? You know, you look at the goals that Yaya Toure scored last season. If he starts to find that kind of form, then I think, I don't think it's as big a crisis, you know, as it would be at other clubs, for instance. Just on Bony, a lot of people saying, is Liverpool going to go in for him and Man City? Let's not forget that he's going to go to the Africa Cup of Nations. So, I mean, he's not, you know, you don't want to be buying a player who's then just going to go off to Africa and, you know, potentially, you know, the potential to be injured or, you know, whatever. It starts on the 17th of January, by the way, the Africa Cup of Nations, till the 8th of February. So, depending on how well Cote d'Ivoire do, then he might be away for quite a while. Back to this game, though. I mean, even before the kind of the striker crisis, if you like, came along, I really liked under 2.5 goals in this. I thought City looked a little laboured. Obviously, they weren't, you know, probably didn't need to get out of third gear against Leicester. And I know I went for that daft kind of Leicester to score goals bet, but I thought they actually, you know, gave them a bit of a game, you know, and made it difficult for City. And I think Palace will take a little bit of that, and the way they played at Tottenham and got the 0-0 draw, I think Palace will go 0-1. It will set them up strong to try and get a draw and maybe try and nick something on the break. I don't really see Palace going out there and trying to play them. We've seen City struggle to break teams down at home. You know, the teams where they've scored more than 2 goals against Tottenham and Liverpool are teams who like to attack them and come out and play football. The rest of them, they've struggled a little bit to break teams down. You know, they won 1-0 against Everton. Everton were pretty dogged. They won 2-1 against Swansea. Swansea scored first there, of course, and then they didn't score the winner until the 62nd minute. Man United were dogged, weren't they, against City? They didn't come out and play them, beat them 1-0. Chelsea, even, they didn't go out there and really play City. It was a very disciplined kind of performance, and they struggled to break them down as well, of course. Stoke beat them, playing that really defensive game and hitting them on the break. So under 2.5 goals for me, it's odds against, and I'll go with that. I think City will win, so if you wanted the extra value of City to win and under 2.5 goals, that might be another way to go. But I must admit, I'm with Derek here a little bit. There's something about this game that City will win it, but there's a little bit of a nagging doubt that Palace maybe, if Palace are right on their game, maybe they could thwart them. The other bet would be half-time draw, full-time City. Anything around that, a tight match, that City finally get the job done, is my thinking. But under 2.5 is my main bet.
That's 6-5 under 2.5 goals. If you're looking for Man City to win and under 2.5 goals, that's 23-10 in the market. That's the live lunchtime kickoff on Saturday afternoon. A good price, 23-10 on Man City and under 2.5. Let's move on to the derby. Sunday afternoon, this one. Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Newcastle versus Sunderland. Newcastle even money. The draw, 9-4. Sunderland in the market at 3-1. Lee, this is always a pretty intense derby, this one. And Newcastle fans will be expecting better than they've got in the last couple of derbies at St James's Park. Mm-hmm. Sunderland have been there twice in the last couple of years and beaten Newcastle 3-0 at St James's Park. However, Newcastle fans will be expecting a different performance from their side, given their recent home form. They've won four straight home matches in the Premier League, even though the run of consecutive victories has, of course, come to an end.
Yeah, just give me a second here. Hang on. Just throwing the form book out the window. That's what we're supposed to do in these matches, isn't it?
Ow, it just hit me!
He's not got that good a shot, Derek.
If you go in with form, this is a low scorer, isn't it? I mean, you look at, you know, Newcastle, three of the last four at home have been under 1.5 goals. You know, Sunderland have had back-to-back away nil-nils. But then you look at the head-to-heads, and we wouldn't have said that it would be, you know, the results that we've had over the past three head-to-heads, you wouldn't have said that Sunderland would go to Newcastle last year and win 3-0. And the season before that, they went there and won 3-0. Successive 3-0 wins at Newcastle. I mean, it seems daft, really, to think that. I mean, and the Newcastle injuries, you know, there's so many of them still, plus doubts. They're talking about, you know, the fact that maybe as many as six, you know, homegrown players will play in this Newcastle side at the weekend, which might be good because, you know, you've got that kind of passion. I think I like the over 2.5 in this. I like the fact that there'll be goals. I'm struggling to see how Newcastle lose this, but then I look at the Sunderland wins against the grain in those last two seasons, which I'm struggling with the game, to be fair. I think it's one of those games where I'd like to play it in play. I'm not just going to sit on the fence. I will come up with a bet. But given the head-to-heads and the fact that I can't really pick, I might have to nick one of Derek's rules of betting here.
Yeah, the 3-1 away from home.
I think so. I mean, I can't have Newcastle at evens in a derby where they've struggled in recent years. The injuries will catch up with them. I mean, Dave and I previewed the Capital One Cup games, and I mean, I got three out of the four right, but the one I got wrong was Newcastle to beat Tottenham.
He's lying, Derek.
Yeah, I'm lying. Newcastle to beat Tottenham. I mean, they got an absolute spanking, didn't they? For the second week in a row in London, second game in a row, it's conceded 8 goals in 2 games. I mean, have the wheels fallen off?
Yes.
Yeah.
They
so
have.
3-1, probably a bit big, isn't it?
It is. It's not just the 2-3-0 wins in the last two seasons. It's only one win in the last five for Newcastle over Sunderland in this fixture. And, you know, even when they were going through that great run, they were Southampton of the North. You just knew that the wheels were going to fall off, and they've fallen off big time. Two doses of capital punishments in the last week, 4-1 Arsenal, 4-0 Tottenham. You know, the danger about back in Sunderland is they just don't score goals. Yeah. 3-0 draws in their last 4 or 5 matches, and a couple of 1-1 draws thrown in as well. I just go back to what Lee said, and you know, my head's still hurting after that form, but just wellied me. You can't back your prices in your North East derbies. You know, that way lies the poorhouse. So Sunderland for me, 3-1, and they'd probably nick it 1-0.
Did you see the comments from Gus Poyet this week? I thought it was interesting. He said, unless we sign players, we will finish with 38 points after 38 games.
Is that what he said?
That's confidence, isn't it? Wow, don't go mad there, Gus.
Derek makes a good point about the goals as well. You look at, they've got the third worst record in terms of shots per game in the league.
Yep.
Have drawn 5 of the last 6. They've only scored 3 goals in the process of drawing 5 of those last 6 as well.
Mm.
They've got Stephen Fletcher, Connor Wickham and Jose Altidore as their strike force, and they've only accounted for 6 goals all season.
Yeah.
Where do... That's why I contend. Where do their goals come from to give this an over 2.5?
Well, you're relying on a good performance from them. Now, when they went to Palace on that Monday night game, I watched that, and all right, it wasn't the greatest game in the world, but they looked dynamic. They actually went for it, and they had some width. And Fletcher looked like he was back to his best form, scored 2 goals in the game, and looked great. Now, if they can have that performance, you need that performance again. I don't think Derek or I are saying that they're going to go there and it's a nailed-on 3-1 winner. I mean, but I think given the odds and given the fact that you need Fletcher to have a really good game, I think, in this one, given the fact that you usually see goals in this game, I think if it's that kind of match where it's open, and I think it will be because of the nature of the match, then I think Sunderland will go for it. What's happened when they've gone to Leicester and gone to Liverpool is I think they've just gone there to not get beat.
Okay.
Whereas I don't think they'll be able to do that against Newcastle. I think the game itself will mean they have to go for it. Early kickoff on a Sunday, you know, I think it'll be quite lively, this one, as usual. So, being cautious, Colin, I'd obviously go for Sunderland plus a goal. But 3-1, worth a go, isn't it?
Okay, Sunderland plus a goal in the game, by the way. If you're looking at the handicap markets here, that's 3-4, Sunderland plus a goal. I take it you're just going for the outright win, Derek?
Yeah, I am, yeah. I play unders on the goals, to be honest here, yeah. But I would still go for Sunderland, yeah.
At Liverpool versus Arsenal is the 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Glad we're starting with you here, Derek. Liverpool 7-4, the draw 23-10, and Arsenal 6-4, big win on Wednesday for Liverpool against Bournemouth, Derek, and the pressure has eased on Brendan Rodgers subsequently, slightly anyway, but they already trail Arsenal by 5 points in the league. Just want to get your take on a couple of decisions Rodgers made, or has made in the last week. The first being dropping Simon Mignolet indefinitely for Brad Jones,
yeah,
Derek.
Well, I know. I think Liverpool should play goalie on the spot. Because, Joe, I mean, he's dropping...
Is that like rush keeper? Is that like rush goalie?
Rush keeper,
that
yeah. Rush keeper of Merseyside version of rush keeper. he had to do... Mignolet, I mean, I'd have been as much use as Mignolet. He's been hopeless and he's been causing consternation in the defence. But Brad Jones is not going to fill them full of confidence either.
I think he's worse, Derek.
Well, give him a chance to be worse. I mean, he hasn't had many chances, has he? You know, let's just see. But he had to do something because Mignolet there was just... You would have gone down as soon as you put him in the team sheet. So I've got no quibbles about that, really. It's just a shame that Liverpool haven't got a better backup keeper.
All that money they had, why not buy a keeper?
Yeah, I know it is. Strange. But, well, I mean, they had Pepe Reina, didn't they? They were messing around with him. It is very strange. But, yeah, no quibbles about that one.
What about the performance at Manchester United? 3-0 they were beaten, Derek. And I know they played well, and David De Gea was good in goal. Maybe his performance has been exaggerated in the press subsequently. Not clinical enough. And he took Adam Lallana off at half-time, which I thought was strange.
Yeah, I know. Well... You know what? See, Liverpool were down, and then he brought Balotelli on, and so anyone who had Man United to win, they may as well have cashed in their tickets there because, you know my feelings about Balotelli, but they haven't really got a recognised striker at the moment, have they? Balotelli, she's broken David Blaine's record for hanging around in a box doing nothing. Raheem Sterling in the Premier League anyway needs 20 chances to score, and then he still misses. So, and Lambert, well, he's just not up to... He doesn't cut the mustard, does he, as a Liverpool player? So I don't know. I've got no idea what Rodgers is going to do as a strike force against Arsenal. And playing at Anfield, so they can't dick around playing nobody up front. You know, they've got to have someone up there. Ideally, it would be Sterling playing as he did against Bournemouth, because you can imagine him having a field day against the Jolly Green Giants at the back for Arsenal. I think Arsenal are good things here. They're not my favourite team, yeah. I can't have Liverpool. I can't back Liverpool to beat anybody at the moment. I'm not getting fooled by a 3-1 win over Bournemouth. It's a big deal. And Liverpool beat them 5-1 last year, but, they had Hannibal Lecter last year, and he's gone now. I think Arsenal are real good things here. They never lose at Anfield, apart from that 5-1 freak show last season. They never lose. You know, they've got a great record there. 2007 was the last time they lost before, you know, the fluke result last year. And the 6-4, and they're a better side than Liverpool, they'll win.
Okay, Arsenal 6-4 to win the game. Lee, Arsenal coming into this on the back of 4-1 wins against Galatasaray and Newcastle. Olivier Giroud and Santi Cazorla getting 2 apiece against Newcastle. Giroud's actually got a decent strike rate this season in the Premier League. Got 4 goals and he's only played, Derek will love this, 325 minutes.
You're learning this season. Yeah, and there were some great stats about him last week as well. You know, if you look at next time they play them, he loves a header as well, and he scored headers against them again. It's a strange game, this, isn't it? I mean, when I look at Liverpool, I mean, I went against Liverpool in the week. My main bet was over 3.5 goals, of course, at 21-10. But let's not dwell on that. I thought, and if Bournemouth had scored early, I think Liverpool might have had some pretty big question marks hanging over them. But as it was, they played really well. What I've been surprised about, Derek, and I'm really pleased to hear you say, I didn't think you would be a part of this camp. I've heard people in the media and then people just chatting generally saying, "Oh yeah, Liverpool, they look great on Wednesday night. Yeah, they look really good." Like, blah, blah, blah. It was Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I back Bournemouth. Bournemouth are a good side. But once you get into a championship team, once you get a goal lead against them, you know, that it should be plain sailing then, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, as well as they've been playing, as many goals as they've got in them, Bournemouth, you're still playing against championship defenders. So I can't believe that people are getting so carried away and, you know, and talking about Raheem Sterling like he's now a world beater. Now, I think he has been improving week on week. And the one thing I would say about Liverpool is that, you know, that they have been creating chances. It seems daft to say that Man United winning 3-0, the game was actually quite level. But Liverpool, I mean, Raheem Sterling was guilty of some ridiculous decision making in that game, I thought, when he should have passed the ball on at least 2 occasions when he had good scoring opportunities and they would have scored goals, you imagine. So I think there are chances there. And sooner or later, Liverpool are going to start sticking them away in the Premier League as well. I think they look, maybe the Bournemouth game will just give them confidence to pass the ball around a bit more. And Arsenal do allow you to do that. Arsenal, when you look over the last season, the only places they've scored goals when they've gone to like big, like top six sides, if you like, have been Liverpool and Man City. Unfortunately, City scored 6 against them and Liverpool scored 5 against them. So Arsenal's away scoring record isn't particularly great at the bigger clubs. But I think they'll score here. This Liverpool defence does look nervy. The over 2.5 is 13-20, yeah. So no big surprise there. I'm going to go for a goal scorer. And I mean, it's not something I'd normally play, but I do like the you can have the anytime goal scorers in the match. So anytime goal scorers doubled. Olivier Giroud is playing really well. I like him. I think on crosses, he is worth a look, especially with this Liverpool defence at the minute. And Raheem Sterling, I think he will play up there, and I think he will be too quick for the Arsenal defence. I think he'll get chances, and hopefully, you know, the way he played in midweek will give him the confidence to go ahead. So Olivier Giroud and Raheem Sterling to both score at any time in the game. I expect there to be over 2.5 goals.
Wow.
That's 5-1. Obviously, individually, I like them.
Of the two,
I'd take Raheem Sterling to score any time.
Would you
at
really?
17-10.
17-10, given, yeah, given how lacklustre he was in front of goal against Manchester United.
He made bad decisions.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think that. I think he's a good enough player that he's, I don't think he'll be that profligate in front of goal again.
One thing that's worthy of mention here before we move on is Arsenal's injury problems as well. Aaron Ramsey, Lauren Koscielny, Jack Wilshere, Theo Walcott, Mesut Ozil,
it's
all
every
out.
Week. It's every week with Arsenal, isn't it? The whole season they won't have a full team out. We say this all the time, but you're right. I mean, you know, not only have they got injuries, but they've also got doubts. So I think even when they've got, you know, even when players are playing, I don't think they're fully fit. You know, the likes of, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain's a doubt, Walcott's a doubt, Monreal's a doubt. But I think Giroud's playing well, because Cazorla's playing well. Obviously, Alexis Sanchez is a good player. I think it'll be quite open, this, and I think we could see some goals again. Mm. But there's no value in that. So if there are going to be goals, it's picking the goal scorers. So Raheem Sterling, anytime, my main bet, and him and Giroud to both score at 5-1 is a bit of a flyer.
Headline offers here: Raheem Sterling to score, Liverpool to win is 6-1. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win, 4-1. On to Monday night then, Stoke City versus Chelsea, 8 p.m. kickoff. Stoke 9-2, the draw's 11-4. Chelsea in the market at 8-13. Headline offers here: Boyan to score and Stoke to win. In the betting at 12-1, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win is 6-4. Lee Stoke have only beaten Chelsea once in the last 16 meetings between the two clubs. We all know this Chelsea side is strong, this squad is strong as well, and Jose Mourinho went with a strong side against Derby midweek and it paid off. They won 3-1. Goals all over the team. Eden Hazard has been sensational. His form continues. Chelsea 8-13. 8-13. They were a lot shorter than that at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, it looks decent to me. I like it. You know, we've talked about Stoke and their inability to make the Britannia a fortress this season because of the style of play that they've got. I think what they'll do here is they'll sit back and give Chelsea the ball and they'll try and play their kind of away style at home. And when they have done that, you know, look at what they did with Arsenal. They beat Arsenal 3-2. You know, and they've got goals in them. Look at the home goals that they've scored. You know, early on they were struggling to find the back of the net in the Premier League. They lost 1-0 to Aston Villa at home. They lost 1-0 to Leicester. They beat Newcastle by a single goal to nil. Since then, though, they've beaten Swansea City 2-1. They lost 3-2 to Southampton in the League Cup. 2-2 with West Ham, lost 2-1 to Burnley, which was a shocker, and then beat Arsenal 3-2. So they are averaging, you know, over the last 5-6 games, they're averaging 2 goals a game. Chelsea are averaging 2 goals a game away from home every single match. Over 2.5 is even money here. This isn't Stoke of old, where they sit back and try and, you know, stifle you. This is a Stoke team who attack on the counter-attack, and they'll leave gaps at the back, I think. The way they play, I think they'll leave gaps at wing-back, and I think Chelsea can exploit that. I think over 2.5 at even money is great here. I expect Chelsea to win. So Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals is 6-4. But I think I'll just play the goals bet here, just in case Stoke have one of those nights where they have a really good one. You know, if Ron was here, he'd be talking about the Britannia under the footlights, wouldn't he, Derek? And the loudest crowd, of course. The Stoke fans are widely regarded as kind of, in inverted commas, the best fans in the Premier League. And they do make plenty of noise, so it'll be a good atmosphere and all the rest of it. But I just think there'll be goals. I don't see this being the sort of game where either team will sit back and defend.
I buy that as well, because we've got a Stoke fan out in the office and he's loud. He is loud all the time. Derek, your thoughts on this one?
Well, Stoke won this 3-2 last season. They're playing pretty well, Stoke. Okay, Chelsea don't seem to have a weakness, but look at their last two away matches in the Premier League against Sunderland and Newcastle. Only 1 point from 6 against two teams that I'd bracket alongside Stoke, really, you know, but maybe not as good. And yet the 4-6, they've only won half of their away games, and you're looking at backing them at odds on against a Stoke side who are nobody's mugs. I'm liking Stoke here, I honestly am. I think they're always capable of coming up with a great result, for instance that one against Tottenham a few weeks ago. And at 9-2, 4-1, I like Stoke here. I don't think Chelsea are as great as everybody makes out. I've still got doubts about Diego Costa up front for them. And I think if you take Hazard out of the team, and you know, you're losing an awful lot of stardust. Okay, he'll probably be playing here and he might have a field day, but I like Stoke. I think they're very overpriced. Well, they're overpriced at 9-2.
Do you think the title race is back on then, Derek?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. It looks so, you know.
Do you think Manchester United are involved?
No. Don't be silly.
Don't be daft.
It'll be ridiculous.
They're living on borrowed. Oh, we'll come to them in a bit, won't we?
Yeah, we will do. No, City are back in it. I still think Chelsea will win it, but, you know, it's bang on, isn't it? All to play for between those two.
Okay, Stoke 9-2 for Derek.
It's amazing how much, I suppose, we all overreacted, really. There's no point in sitting here and going, oh, everyone overreacted. We all said, oh, the title's done.
Yeah.
It's done and dusted. We do it every season. You know, we should remember that this season's a long season. One stat I've just found here, which is good and bad for Stoke, they're second only to Arsenal in home shots on goal.
Okay.
Averaging 18 shots a game on the opposition's goal. That's pretty impressive. They are right down in 14th on shots on target on goal. Yeah. So, I mean, it just shows you that, you know, if they had a striker who could, someone who was a bit better up front, they'd be a lot higher up that table. They were my pick, Stoke, to win the handicap table, and I need them to get going a bit, you know, to be fair. But I thought they'd have a good season. This is the sort of game I think they'll raise the game for. Again, with Derek on this a little bit, I think Chelsea will win, but I could quite easily have a bet on Stoke in some form, plus one, but just a Weasley over 2.5 for me.
Even money over 2.5 goals. Derek going with Stoke at 9-2. On to the non-televised matches this weekend. 3 p.m. kickoff, Hull versus Swansea on Saturday afternoon. Hull 15-8, the draw 11-5, Swansea 6-4. Headline offers, Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win is 5-1. Wilfred Boney to score and Swansea to win in the market at 3-1. Derek, both these sides have been a little bit frustrating recently. Swansea should definitely have got something out of their match with Tottenham last weekend, but a late defensive lapse proved costly there. Hull have not got a win since the beginning of October when they beat Crystal Palace, and they've only got Leicester below them in the league at the moment. So both of these two sides need to pull the socks up a little bit.
More so Hull. I mean, I keep waiting for Hull to show what they're really worth, but they're absolutely hopeless, and it's amazing that Steve Squashnose isn't one of those fellas in the high in the betting for the sack race.
Derek, do you remember, like, when we, I don't know if you remember this, but Ron always used to say this, and he was obviously less critical of him than you are. He would always say that the manager, he struggled to get his teams out of bad runs. If you remember this, so it's Sunderland, they'd go on these ridiculously long losing streaks and always struggle to find a way of getting them out of it. And it's the same here, isn't it? It doesn't look to be, like with Southampton, I can start to see them maybe getting out of it. I can see Leicester maybe just starting to get out of it. I can't see anything from Hull at the minute.
No.
It's weird, isn't it?
Well, they're the only team that you'd say might ruin that bet that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the three promoted sides to go down. Straight back down again. Hull are the only ones that could upset that bet, because they're playing like a relegated team. They've got no confidence. They should be doing, but you look at their squad. I keep looking at their squad and thinking, they'll climb at the table soon. But it ain't happening. We're almost halfway through. There's no confidence there at all. I think Swansea will rip them apart this weekend. I really do. Swansea are no world beaters. But every time I've seen them, I thought, yeah, that's a decent side. And then, they're nothing special. They're going to lose to the big sides, as we've seen already this season. But they'll go to Hull and win. I'm really convinced this is in a way we're not written all over it.
That headline offer looks good, then, doesn't it, Derek? Boney to score, Swansea to win 3-1. He's the man, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if Swansea win, he's always on the score sheet. Even if they lose, he's always on the score sheet. Yeah, that's as headline offers go. That's writ large, that one.
3-1, Boney to score and Swansea to win, Lee.
It does look good, doesn't it? I'm not as big a fan of Swansea as most people are, to be honest with you. I keep thinking that they're going to sink down the table. I mean, they have lost back-to-back games now at West Ham and at home to Tottenham, of course. In fact, they've only won one match in the last five, Swansea. But that man, Boney, obviously, he's great. I mean, you look at his score. I mean, someone said to me in the week, oh, yeah, but he needs a lot of shots to score goals. Well, I had a look at that, and he's had 50 shots on goal this season. He scored 8 goals. That's
You're only doing your 6-time or 8-time table. When the Dave starts going on about 325 minutes without goal, I have to do me 90-time table.
I was at the darts last night, and I interviewed one of the referees, and I said, like, do you have to be a maths genius to do this? Like, and he was like, no, we just learn them. That's kind of ruined. That's ruined that then. So basically, every 6 shots he scores a goal, which I suppose is quite a lot, when you think about
it's quite a lot.
It is quite a lot. I mean, you look at Swansea away from home, they're actually quite low on shots on goal away from home. Overall, they're quite high, so they do well at home. But away from home, they only have 2.6 shots on target a game. If he needs 6 and they only have 2.6 average, I don't think they're going to score. under 2.5 goals,
I
think.
It's ridiculous. I looked at this because I saw this as being one for the purists.
This is really short, under 2.5.
Really short. 4-7
under
2.5.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
I think it almost wants you to go the other way.
I'm going to go the other way. Yeah. Over 2.5. Boney will get a hat-trick from one shot on goal. I don't really know.
I think I don't know in this game.
I'm going to go for the draw. And it sounds like I'm sitting on the fence. But I think Hull have to start digging in at some point, as Derek said. They have to. And I think in a way, if the game's goalless or it's 1-1 and with about 60 minutes gone, I think both teams will settle for a draw.
Yeah. Your arguments have been swayed in this podcast, I've noticed, because you were leaning with Chelsea, first of all, and you said that was a good price at the start of that preview. Then Derek started talking about Stoke.
He talks sense, though, doesn't he? And then, ever since he said I was great last week.
Definitely manipulated you there, and then you ended up going... St- You ended over 2.5 was obviously the main bet in that match, but almost siding with Stoke plus a goal in that game in the end.
I think Lee, you need to lend me about 500 quid in time for Christmas. Is that okay?
Yeah, fine, no problem. I'll bring it round. I'll deliver it next week.
Let's move on to QPR versus. Go on.
I shouldn't have gone to his house and done that hypnotism thing. That's what's happened, isn't it? That hypnotism trick you did on me. I've just realised that's what's happened.
Once he starts talking about facial features of either Louis Van Gaal or Steve Bruce, and that's the trigger, isn't it? That's the trigger.
If you say Louis Van Flatface later on, I'm gone. I'm gone at the game.
QPR versus West Brom next. QPR 7-5, the draw 11-5. West Brom in the betting at 2-1 here. Most notable statistic in the lead up to this match, Lee, is that all 14 of QPR's points have come at home this season.
Yeah.
Not picked up one point away from home yet. They have been absolutely dismal on the road, but at home they've picked off Aston Villa, Leicester and Burnley in three of the last four and drawn with Manchester City. So it's a completely different kettle of fish when this side's at home. They seem to gain a bit of confidence from that crowd.
They do, yeah. And you know, they score a lot of goals at home as well. You know, the tremendous amount of goals. I've been really impressed with the way they play at home. And that's what will keep them up if they do stay up, obviously. They're right up there in terms of shots on goal and shots on target. I think they're the sixth in the shots on target at home table. Man United, Southampton, Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal, the only teams above them. Yet, we've got a price of 11-10 for over 2.5 goals here. You know, that they do concede as well. It's not like they're watertight at home. You look at the results, 2-0 against Burnley, 3-2 Leicester, 2-2 Man City, 2-0 Villa, 3-2 defeat to Liverpool, 2-2 against Stoke, 1-0 against Sunderland at the start of the season was the Hull game. But since they started, you know, getting going, I think that over 2.5 looks a good bet, to be fair. And I'd be perfectly happy to lump in with QPR to win and over 2.5 goals as well. Safety, obviously, just the goals bet. But to anyone who wants a bit more value, the win at over 2.5, which is 14-5 QPR, it's decent. Couldn't really be touching them on the outrights, to be fair, I don't think. I mean, 6-4 is not bad, but you're still dealing with a team who are liable to chuck a bad performance in any minute. West Brom are just... I can't really have West Brom. I mean, I know they beat Villa, but Villa were down to 10 men and, you know, for most of the game. So, yeah, over 2.5 goals, the main bet there.
Okay, Derek Saido Berahino, everyone was talking about him, raving about him in the first couple of months of the season. He's dropped off a cliff. Where's this chap gone? He's failed to score in his last seven.
Well, yeah, I know. He looked a potential world beater, didn't he? I'll talk about him going to different places in the transfer window, Liverpool amongst them, but who'd buy him now? You'd almost want to stick with Balotelli before. Well, no, hang on, sorry. Don't be silly. It's QPR, isn't it? Jackal and Hyde, away from home, he wouldn't touch them with Lee's money. At home, you know, they're at label.
It's your money now.
Able to beat anybody. And, you know, they scored double the amount of goals at home as Liverpool have had Anfield. You know, 7 goals for Liverpool, 14 for QPR. And they keep beating these other crap teams alongside them. You know, they just, you know, look what they've beaten in recent weeks, for instance. Burnley, Leicester, drawing against Man City. They're going to beat West Brom here. I think 6-4, I disagree with Lee. But still lend me that money, though. 6-4 QPR, good thing.
QPR to win that game for both Derek and Lee. Lee's going over 2.5 goals there. Let's look at West Ham. They're taking on Leicester City. West Ham are 4-6. The draw 11-4. Leicester 4-1. Headline offers here: Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win is 2-1. Leonardo Ochoa to score and Leicester to win in the betting at 8-1. Leicester, first of all, Derek, are winless in their last 11 Premier League fixtures. Lost 9, drawn 2.
Yeah.
Longest run in the league so far. And as I'm contractually obliged to mention, their last win came at home against Manchester United at the end of September. In addition to this, Derek, they've not won any of their last 17 Premier League away trips to London. So it's looking tough for Leicester.
Well, yeah, you have to say 8-11, I think, aren't they, West Ham, on my list here?
4-6, I've got, Derek.
Well, can you update yours? Because some of your prices are different from mine. I wonder whether my list is up.
Oh, 8-11, yeah. Yeah, they've just changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed they've been pushed out, West Ham, because I think they're absolute certainties.
Mm.
You know, they're in fourth at the moment, and he ain't going to stay there, West Ham. That's a certainty. But they're going to polish off Leicester. What have Leicester done to deserve prices of only 4-1 here? And I know it goes against what I always used to say about 3-1 to teams away from home. But you can't see anything from Leicester. 7 defeats in 8 away from home. Only four goals scored on the road. They just haven't got a Premier League squad. And, you know, despite all my criticism of Sam Allardyce, West Ham have. They've got a Premier League squad that's doing a business right now. I think 8-11 is an absolute certainty for the Hammers here.
Yeah, 8-11 West Ham to win the game. They've got a full squad to pick from as well, barring Mark Noble, Lee. They look strong. They've got a lot of depth, haven't they, to that
squad? And they're confident, and they, you know, the fans are behind them. You know, the manager's got them going. It's like Bolton of, you know, years ago, isn't it? The way he's got this team going now, and the signings that he's made. Every so often he comes up with a team like this, doesn't he? That is attractive to watch, and you know, I can't disagree with anything Derek said, to be fair, again. But I will add in this, that I do think Leicester are showing some signs. I'm not going to say they're going to get anything out of the game, but I do think they can get a goal here. You know, they scored two at QPR, they scored one at Aston Villa. You know, West Ham do concede goals as well. So I'd be tempted here to go for West Ham to win and both teams to score at 11-5.
Okay.
And, you know, I just think the strikers are great. You know, every interview you read from West Ham at the minute is positive. You know, they're loving it. You know, you see the pictures of, you know, of them in training and all that. It just seems like one of those, the club that everyone loves playing at the minute. You know, Sacco's obviously playing well. You know, Valencia, when he plays, is playing well. Carroll, Downing, of course, Coate, Nolan, Song. I mean, it's, you know, it's a good side, you know. And there's also Zarate as well. So I think, I think if you just want a win, I just think West Ham to win, but a little bit of extra value, Leicester to nick a goal.
It'd be huge, wouldn't it, if Alex Song signed a permanent contract at West Ham as well.
Unbelievable. Why is he at West Ham?
Yeah, that is. I mean,
it's great. I mean, it's great. But I'm not decrying any West Ham fans. Brilliant that he's there. But it's a coup, isn't it? I mean, I think a lot of those signings are a coup. When I saw Enner Valencia in the World Cup, though, I thought he's obviously one of those players who someone's going to pick up in the Premier League and he'll be great for a season and then he'll tail off. But I thought maybe someone else would take a risk on him, a bigger club in inverted commas than West Ham would. Sacco's just a great signing. I don't think anyone was really talking about Sacco beforehand. And Carroll's just come into a confident squad, you know. So, yeah, really good.
West Ham to win the match is 8-11, as Lee mentioned. West Ham to win and both teams to score in the game in the market at 11-5. On to Aston Villa. They host Manchester United on Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. kickoff. Aston Villa 5-1. The draw 13-5. Man United 8-13. Headline offers: Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win is 8-1. Robin van Persie to score and Manchester United to win in the market at 2-1. Lee, we talked some time ago about Hull being a team that rolls over for Manchester United. You can throw Aston Villa into the mix as well. They've won just one of their last 37 against Manchester United, and they've lost seven straight as well. And you look at those performances, Manchester United have scored at least three goals in each of their last five Premier League meetings against Villa. Wayne Rooney and Robin van Persie both love, for some reason, playing against Aston Villa as well. Manchester United 8-13 to win on the road at Villa.
Yeah, that's too short for me. Man United are a funny team, aren't they? I was tweeting, I'll try and find the guy's name actually in a second, but a tweet the other day, it was tweeted by someone saying, oh, you know, Man United are the form team in the Premier League. And obviously, looking at the bare results, they are the form team. They're just winning game after game after game. But the performances aren't the same as that. And it's a really, I find it really hard to back them at 8-13 despite the form. What they've got is world-class strikers who are just taking their chances. You know, Liverpool had far more chances than Man United, but, you know, it was Man U who took the chances, obviously. So, you know, if the players that you just mentioned get chances, I think they will score. Just the 8-13 is a bit skinny. One thing I will say about Villa is I think, you know, their little resurgence in form, I think we may have seen the end of that. I think, you know, I don't think that goes on. You know, we kind of predicted when the Villa, you know, resurgence would happen. They're up to 13th with 19 points. I think they might go on a little bit of a wobble now again, because I'm not sure about the manager. I mean, they've got winnable games through Christmas. They've got Swansea, Sunderland and Palace. It'd be just like Villa now to struggle through those games. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I'm struggling. I want to back Benteke, but He's just not scoring goals. He gets himself into good positions, but doesn't take the opportunities.
I think he'd be bang up for this, though, Benteke, because he wants to put himself in the shot window, won't he?
Yeah. I've gone for a lot of goals bets this week, because I'm not really sure about the outrights. And I think 19-20 for over 2.5 goals looks decent again. Man United scored 2 at Arsenal, 2 at Southampton, 2 at West Brom, 3 at Leicester. There's only Man City, where they drew a blank, understandably, in recent times, that they've not scored 2 or more goals. So I'll go for that. I think it could be another 2-1 to Man U here. Mm.
He's getting it done, isn't he, Louis van Gaal, Derek? He went into that match against Liverpool at the weekend without any of those summer signings. There is a chance that Angel Di Maria and Marcus Rojo could return to action this weekend. But that was basically David Moyes' team that he beat Liverpool with.
Yeah, and you look at the bare scoreline, fantastic result for them. But Lee's right. Look behind those scorelines of United's performances, and they ain't that great, are they? This reminds me of last week's game, the Burnley Southampton. Burnley was similarly priced, 4-1, 9-2. Are United that much better than Southampton? Yeah, these prices, this is priced up on the Man United of old, the Man United of the Fergie time. I think they're criminally underpriced here. Villa got beat by West Brom last week, but they did only have 10 men, and before that they'd gone five without defeat. They're playing at home, I know. Man United got more points at Villa Park than anywhere, I know that. But that was the Man United, the Fergie. Mm. I think they're there to be popped at, Man United, and I'll be popping at them this week. I think Villa are 5-1. What did you say, 5-1?
5-1, yeah.
Instinctively, I know that's overpriced. This is my Christmas money bet, Villa, this weekend. And Benteke, if Villa are going to win, he's going to score. So I wouldn't put anybody off the headline 8-1.
Okay, Aston Villa to win at 5-1. Penultimate match this weekend is Tottenham versus Burnley. Tottenham 1-2, the draw 3-1. Burnley in the market at 6-1. Derek, obviously, successful nap last week with Burnley. Similar price away from home against Tottenham as they were at home against Southampton this week. I still don't rate this Tottenham side. I thought it was a fortuitous victory against Swansea. They did have a comprehensive win midweek against Newcastle, though, Derek.
Yeah, well, Tottenham are getting the job done rather like Man United, aren't they, without hitting any heights. And yet, United's prices keep on shortening, but I'm not sure Tottenham. So I looked at this fixture earlier in the week, and I thought I'd be seeing like a 10 to 1 for Burnley. I think 6-1 is very short. I mean, but Villa are almost the same price at home to Man United as Burnley are to win at Tottenham. I don't see that at all. I think Tottenham will win this. I think they're getting a bit of confidence together now, Tottenham. Mm. I understand your reservations about them. They are prone to throwing in the odd wobbler, but two big wins for them in the last few days. They beat Everton at home a couple of weeks ago. Well, three weeks ago. I just can't see them slipping up. I think they were around this price against Palace, weren't they, a few weeks ago? And I went, come on, it's Palace. They've got to win that. And they drew 0-0. But Tottenham will win this. They will.
I think it was almost identical prices in that match. Tottenham to win then at 1-2. It's a fixture in recent years, Lee, that's been laden with goals. 21 goals scored in the last 4 meetings in all competitions between the two. At least 5 in each game. I know you've been keen on goals bets this weekend, Lee. There should be goals in this one.
Yeah, and I think they'll all come for Tottenham. I agree with Derek in that. I think we are starting to see Tottenham gaining confidence. You know, it's funny, isn't it? Because again, we're guilty of this as well. And people say, "Oh yeah, Tottenham rubbish at home." And we've been talking about Adebayor complaining about the home fans and Pochettino saying that the pitch is too small. 1 defeat in 5, 2 defeats in 11 at White Hart Lane in all competitions now. They lost 2-1 to Stoke when they had Norton sent off. Stoke were 2-1 up then. They lost 2-1 to Newcastle as well. So it's not like the home form is quite as bad as that. And there's only been 2 draws in that as well, in that run of 11 games. 1-1 against Beşiktaş, who aren't a bad side at all, and that 0-0 against Palace, which was disappointing, but they looked a little bit laboured. I think we'll see. I could see Tottenham winning quite healthily here.
Okay.
I know we've discussed Harry Kane quite a lot. I hear more and more people in the game talking about him in glowing terms. Jermaine Genius was talking on Five Live the other night about, he said, there's no surprise whatsoever that he's playing this well. He said even as a kid, he was he had enough character about him that he wanted to be in the first team. He trained harder than anyone else. I think this guy, he doesn't look like a footballer to me.
Yeah, exactly.
But everyone says it, that everyone, you know, every player, they're glowing about him. And he has got, he reminds me of Peter Crouch in a way, but a slightly more skillful Peter Crouch. Jermaine Jean has said again, he's got everything in his game. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win at 7-4 is my nap.
Okay. Kane,
love that headline offer.
Kane to score and Tottenham to win 7-4 on the headline offer.
He's scoring so many goals.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. We finish off with Southampton and Everton. Southampton 6-4. The draw is 11-5. Everton in the market at 9-5. Lee, Southampton lost 5 straight now following that League Cup loss to Sheffield United midweek. Time to panic now for Southampton fans?
Nah, not really. It's just they're just sinking back to where they belong, aren't they, really? I mean, the midweek defeat. I mean, to be fair, Dave called that, and he said it would be low on the goals, and he thought Sheffield United were in with a chance there. And I mean, that's a sickener, isn't it? Plus, Southampton were my tip for the League Cup as well.
They were, weren't they?
At around 33. Price, yeah. So, I mean, you know, you don't mind them going out to a big team, but Sheffield... I mean, I didn't think they were playing that badly. Then the Burnley and Sheffield United defeats are absolutely shocking. I think he'll go back to basics. Remember early in the season, everyone was raving about how they were the second best defensive team in Europe behind Roma at home. Well, that's what they need to go back to. And I just wonder if, you know, Everton's away form isn't startling. And I just wonder if Southampton will really batten down the hatches here and go for like a nil-nil and really like forget getting the ball back off Everton and trying to attack. Just go back to, you know, go back to basics, defend to the hilt and try and stop the rot. We've said this loads this season about different teams. When you're in a losing run, you don't go out and think, right, yeah, we'll go and beat Everton then. That's what we'll do. We'll go out and we'll try and beat them, get 3 points. You try and stop the rot by getting a draw and going, you know, and staying solid. So I think they'll go for a draw here. I think they might just get it.
I think there's a problem with Southampton in terms of injuries this weekend as well.
Yeah, and that's what we said, wasn't it? That as Christmas comes, the more injuries they get and the more fatigue they get, they will struggle.
I just think it's big names. Victor Wanyama, who protects that back four, Morgan Schneiderlin out, Dusan Tadic out. It's going to be tough for Southampton.
Do you know another one there? Jack Cork. He's been one of the underrated players of the season for them. That is a problem, admittedly, but I think they'll just, for that reason, I think they'll just be extra solid.
So you're playing the draw. Derek?
I think Everton all day long, those injuries as well. I mean, Southampton aren't a team that can cope with it. You know, when you see, Arsenal without such and such and Liverpool, yeah, they have good players to come in. Yeah, Southampton haven't. And especially the form they're in, their confidence is bereft. I've watched Everton recently. Again, one of these teams that maybe lack a bit of stardust, but don't have any glaring weaknesses. You know, Southampton are playing so bad, even Brendan Rodgers doesn't fancy any of their players anymore. You know,
it's just, he should just give a few back, actually, shouldn't he?
Well, he wouldn't have them, would he? I think Everton are good things here. You know, I started off this bulletin saying it was hard. It was a hard fixture list this weekend, but I convinced myself that it was about
convinced me as well, actually, Derek, on the way. Yeah. If you noticed or not.
Everton for me.
I'm not having that one, though.
Everton 9-5.
Come on, give me a few minutes longer.
Everton 9-5 to win at Southampton.
I might go Everton +2.
Some prices have changed. Some prices. Sunderland were 3-1 or 13-5 now, by the way, Sunderland.
Yeah, I think this is a policy at 11 o'clock.
They're not supposed to
listen
to us.
Where the price has just changed for some reason. Okay, naps then. Lee, you want to do Harry Kane and the headline offer, but you can't. It's singles only on the headline offer.
No, it's not.
It is.
When did you make that rule up?
It's singles only.
That is a single.
Yeah, but you can't. What I'm saying is you can't make it into a double.
Oh, can't you?
No.
Can't you put that in? Why?
You've got to come up with something.
Goodness me. All right, for the purpose of this, then I'll go for Harry Kane to score anytime. Even money, is it?
Harry Kane to score at any time, it is even money. Harry Kane any time for Lee.
Can I just put it on the record though? I'm not as keen on that as I am on the
no
double.
But if one lands the other lands, doesn't it? Derek?
Well, I am going to surprise you here. I'm going to go for Arsenal at to win at Liverpool. It was 7-4, 13-8 now.
Can I change mine?
You're not
having
Arsenal.
Can I have Arsenal?
Okay, Arsenal at 13-8 to go with Harry Kane at even money.
So there's the two winners. What's the one that let down
winners,
the treble?
The one that's going to let down the treble.
One bet. You've got one bet. You've had all week to think about one bet.
There's a lot of pressure. I found it difficult as well. I'm going to go with QPR at home against West Brom.
It's got a chance this trip.
It's got a chance.
We always say that, don't we?
Got a chance.
It's worth 30p, I reckon.
I tell you what, we've hit a couple of crossbars this season.
You have,
so
yeah.
Far. Harry Kane even money to score any time. Tottenham versus Burnley. Arsenal to beat Liverpool away from home 13-8. QPR to win at home against West Brom 7-5. 11.6-1. The treble. It's worth a few quid, I think, that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, like 25p out of on that, I think.
Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and audioboom.com as well. Just search for William Hill's Audio Boom page, and we'll be back over the festive period. Speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.